News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Yes, and just plain right. So I told you I had a breaking news story about Nancy Pelosi a minute ago. This one's going to catch your attention. So three breaking stories that I think are pretty daggum intriguing here. Number one, we're waiting on the court to rule on Title 42. And that should happen maybe even while we're on the air. In fact, I suspect it'll be while we're on the air because the judge said he would enter that ruling, that order, before the law was set to expire, which it expires Monday. Close of business for the court is going to be while we're on the air today. So I am looking for an order from the court on Title 42, and if it comes, we'll break in and talk about it. The other thing that I told you was breaking news was the fact that we just got testimony that just kind of dropped a bomb in the middle of the Michael Susskind trial. That's the guy who had been the attorney for the Clinton campaign. And that Michael Susskind trial just suddenly had, bam, Robbie Mook, the guy who was the former campaign manager for Clinton, he just up and testified today and shocked everybody. The press is all talking about it. Well, I take it back. The liberal press is not talking about it. But anyway, the bottom line is Hillary Clinton was the one who authorized the release of the Russia collusion information as the October surprise trying to hurt the Trump campaign. Oh, not like we didn't suspect that. But now one of her own people just testified against her. I'm just saying, folks. And you know who's coming up? Jake Sullivan's going to be put on the stand. Jake Sullivan is currently the National Security Advisor for President Biden. He had to have been in that mix. We're going to find out. Here's the other story, though. Here's the third one. I told you I had one about Nancy Pelosi. This is breaking news just in the last hour, I believe. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it just came out in the last 30 minutes. Nancy Pelosi is a Catholic who is extremely pro-abortion. She's all about abortion. She's determined that she's going to do everything she can to make sure that abortion is accessible, is the law of the land, is codified, so that if Roe is dared to be overturned, well, guess what? Just this afternoon, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone announced that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is barred from receiving Holy Communion any longer due to her pro-abortion stance. Now, I'm not Catholic myself, but that is an epic rebuke right there. It's my understanding that, you know, the sacraments, the Holy Communion, I mean, and those of you that are Catholic may want to speak to this, call in if you want to, but that not being allowed to receive Holy Communion as a Catholic, that's a pretty solid rebuke from the church. That's about, you know, next level. I mean, it's not excommunication, but it's saying that you can't receive Holy Communion. That's a big, big, big slapdown. And it's amazing to me to watch the church actually take that stand. And I'm glad, by the way. I mean, where have the churches been? Let me go off on a rant here for a minute. As society burns down in the last couple of years, where have the churches been? Because it's not like this has all been something that happens outside of the realm of what impacts the church. Churches were shut down too. As societies caught fire and riots happened in the street, where were the churches saying, stop the madness? I'm not talking about telling people who to vote for. I'm talking about upholding the values and standing strong for the things that we all believe in and that churches are supposed to stand for. And I don't care if it's Catholic or, you know, Protestant or, you know, any denomination. The reality is what we're seeing is that the churches have too often been silent for the last couple of years, especially the last few years. And meanwhile, the churches have been taking it on the chin. Now, Jesus did say, turn the other cheek. But Jesus also turned over the tables of the money changers in the outer courtyards of the temple, didn't he? He called it like he saw it. I'm just going to tell you, folks, we need churches to take a stand. And it's not just like when it's convenient or when they're going to affect your, you know, your day-to-day operations. I'm talking about for the values of our nation. It is time for the churches to join the clamor. And I know that some will say, well, we might lose our 501c3. Buck up. It is time for everyone to jump in the fray. I'm not telling you have to go to the pulpit and tell your church who to vote for. I'm not telling you have to take sides on party politics or claim one party has the game on. But what happened here with San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, I would assume would have done this to a Republican or a Democrat. He finally just said, enough is enough. Your stance against abortion is beyond the pale, and I cannot authorize you to any longer receive Holy Communion at church. And he's directed the churches in her district to not allow her to receive Holy Communion. Okay. Wow. Did not. Okay. All right. That's what happens when Phil Williams gets him a moment and has to have a rant. Listen, number one on the triple dipper. Number one on the triple dipper is pain at the pump. Yep. Drove to Cullman this morning. Had to get gas. Lord God. We have literally been setting records every day for almost the last 2 weeks. Literally. I think we were 12 days in a row that every single day became a new record high national average. I don't recall that ever happening. Maybe back in the Carter era when I wasn't having to buy gas back then, but I'm sure my dad could have told us. But the truth is this. It ain't good. And what's amazing to see is the rapid escalation of the price hikes. What's also amazing to see is the rapid avoidance of eye contact by every elected official who has a chance to do something about it. Let me just jump into this number one on the triple dipper, pain at the pump. Story from 1819news.com. My friends over at 1819, in conjunction with the Alabama Policy Institute, issued a story today by Justin Bogie. Justin's been on this show multiple times. He's a fiscal analyst, used to be with the Heritage Foundation. We hired him at the Alabama Policy Institute a couple of years ago. He's been doing a great job. He also used to work in Montgomery in the legislative fiscal office, so he knows where all the bones are buried, knows how the procedures go. Justin Bogie wrote a piece this morning, came out on 1819news.com. His title is Gas and Grocery Taxes Are Crushing Alabama Families. Is this the leadership we want? It's a great question. And he points out, he says, next week, Alabama voters are going to cast their votes for the 2022 primary election. And while the races for U.S. Senate and governor are getting most of the attention, who walks the halls of the state house for the next 4 years will have just as much, if not more, impact on your life. And he's right. Folks, I am convinced, after having spent 8 years in Montgomery as a state senator, I am convinced that we are oftentimes more impacted by what comes out of the Montgomery State House than we are out of the Capitol in D.C. In fact, truthfully, the Capitol in D.C., they can't even balance a budget. They're so polarized. But nonetheless, we've got the opportunity here in Alabama to do things at the state level, which too often just don't get done. And he points out that who walks the halls of the legislature, I mean, the governor pushed for the gas tax. Kay Ivey pushed for that gas tax. She twisted arms. But nonetheless, she could not have done a thing if the legislature had not sent her a bill to sign. He goes on to point out, he says, there's two missteps right now by the legislature that currently sits in office that stick out when making the argument that life has gotten harder in the last 4 years. One is the passage of the 10-cent gas tax increase, and the other is the unwillingness of lawmakers to consider repealing the state sales tax on groceries. So here's where we are. We are sitting right now paying epic prices at the pump, setting records daily, 10 cents on every gallon you buy. 10 cents on every, you put $10 worth of gas, you just pay an extra dollar of tax. We were already paying 18 cents per gallon, and they added another 10 cents per gallon. That 10 cents per gallon, by the way, is called the Rebuild Alabama Act. That 10 cents per gallon you're paying at the pump right now at the state level is separate from the original gas tax. It's an additional tax. It's two separate line items. And what I'm telling you is this. If they wanted to freeze that 10 cent gallon per gallon, they could. They could freeze it and not stop the revenues that were already coming in on the original 18 cents per gallon. You're paying 28 cents on the gallon right now in state taxes on your gas. Think what a difference that would make to you at the pump as you go to buy gas every single day, to go to work and do what you got to do. And he points that out here, and he says that, you know, they're generating $320 million annually on that extra 10 cents. And the state keeps about two-thirds of it and then sends the rest down to the counties and municipalities, and then $12 million over to the Port of Mobile. And he says, you know, he points out, and I was in the thick of it. I helped design the policy arguments regarding that gas tax when they were implementing it. And we pointed out to them back then, you should never look at a tax increase without trying to offset it by a tax decrease somewhere else. Did they want to go down that road? No. No. In fact, at API, when I was there, the position that I helped craft was they should do away with the grocery tax before they should do away or add on the sales tax at the pump. Because that way, you're impacting everybody. Everybody buys gas. Everybody buys groceries. Did they do it? Of course not. So Justin Bogey wrote a great piece. I encourage you to look at it because you're going to the polls next Tuesday. And part of what you're voting for many times a legislative seat. And if there's an incumbent there, you have to ask yourself, did that incumbent make it more expensive for me to go to work right now? Like, for instance, you've got Tom Butler and Bill Holtzclaw. Like, for instance, you've got Prancy Robertson and Eddie Yarborough, all right here in this listening area. I just named two. You've got Sheila Bannister running against Parker Moore. And those are people running against incumbents who voted for the gas tax. And I think that ought to play into the consideration. Now, I got a lot more on gas tax. I got a lot more on pain at the pump. I'm not even going to be able to scratch the surface probably on the stacks of stuff I've got for today's show, because when I resource a show, woo, I got stuff. It's all highlighted and ready to go. But at 3 o'clock, top of the hour, we will take a break from that because Lindy Blanchard's calling in. And we'll see what she has to say about her final push in the run for governor. All right, Copper, move us to the break. We'll do that, and we'll come right back. Folks, we got stuff going on left and right. It's a target-rich environment for a conservative news talk show. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Sticking with our topic here, pain at the pump. And by the way, I was talking about, you know, freezing the gas tags. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? They've declined to do it. David from Huntsville just texted me and he pointed out, he said, tax decreases can increase growth and tax income too. Yeah, you know what? That's amazing. When you think about it, if you increase growth, then you've increased tax revenues just by decreasing revenue. I think the Trump tax cuts prove that. Good point, David. Washington Examiner, dated yesterday. Gas prices surpass $4 in every state for the first time. Alabama was one of the few that had kind of hung around at the $4-ish mark, but there were a couple of states that hadn't ever quite kicked over the edge. Well, now everybody has. Every one of the 50 states now has gas that exceeds $4 a gallon. In California, by the way, yeah, $6 a gallon. Over $6 a gallon. Over $6 a gallon. Good Lord. And there's five states right now that are over $5 a gallon. So that's happening as we speak. Well, here's what happened in Alabama yesterday. In the push for governor, right now, according to most recent polls, Kay Ivey is not quite where she needs to be to avoid a runoff. The 2 and 3 positions in that poll are Tim James first, and then Lindy Blanchard, who's coming on the air with us in about 10 minutes. So Tim James yesterday, it's dated today, but I think it came out last night. He called for a special session. So Tim James is calling on Governor Ivey. Now some are going to say, oh, it's just campaign hijinks is all it is. Nah, he's been talking. This is part of his campaign platform, so I think it's legit. It says, today Tim James called on Kay Ivey to bring the legislature in for a special session to deliver economic relief for Alabama families immediately in the following statement. He says, of course, and this is where he makes his points against her. He says, the people of Alabama are hurting. Joe Biden's inflation has hit our working families hard. Gas prices are at record highs. Supply chain issues have led to a crisis in food supplies, even making it hard to find baby formula. Skipping ahead a little bit, he says, while governors in other states have been fighting this, Governor Kay Ivey has been asleep at the wheel. That's okay. This is a little bit of campaign rhetoric. I get it. He says, our families got stuck with the largest gas tax increase in state history, no relief on grocery taxes, and pork barrel spending with roads to nowhere. He says, Florida just gave their state a $1 billion tax cut. Kay Ivey gave $1.5 billion in state surplus funds to quasi-governmental agencies and corporations. All right, then he goes on to say this. He's calling on Governor Ivey to do what he calls implement the Alabama Family Tax Relief Plan. All right, now, I'm in campaign rhetoric mode. I get it. I hear this is campaign rhetoric. But what he's asking for, this is running for governor here. What he's asking for is for her to call the legislature in and literally suspend the state gas tax and ask for the legislature in a special session to repeal it altogether. I don't hold my breath on that, but I'm glad that she's being called on it because she needs to be called on it. Story here from justthenews.com. You know, I've told you on the air before that as gas prices continue to go up, the Biden policies continue to drag them down. And the Biden administration will try their best to point fingers at Putin or to say that something, no, it's not really happening. Nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, the man behind the curtain is Joe Biden's policies. And it doesn't, so when he says, you know, canceling the oil and gas leases, they weren't showing any interest in drilling. Listen. When you do those things, you also create instability in the market. Story here, this is exactly what I've been saying. And I grabbed this story because, well, it's exactly what I've been saying. Dated yesterday on justthenews.com, gas producers slow to ramp up drilling despite high prices because of federal uncertainty. What did I just say? Yes, federal uncertainty. Natural gas drilling is very profitable these days as market prices rise, but U.S. producers are not ramping up production. This is natural gas and oil for petroleum products. Ryan McConaughey, vice president of the Petroleum Association of Wyoming, said that there is too much uncertainty about productions on federal land. His quote is this: "There's a lot of things that come into play when it comes to ramping up drilling, especially in Wyoming. One of the things, obviously, is the uncertainty of what's happening on federal lands and how companies can make sure that when they invest in federal production, that they'll be able to continue doing that." There you go. That's what I've been saying. The policies that we see right now cause corporations that would be in the oil and gas exploration business to hold back because they don't see any value. The return on their investment might be snatched away from them by a government who will change the policies and make them punitive or overly regulated so that, like, their investment goes away. And companies are in the business of making profits. Get over yourselves, Democrats. That's what companies exist for, is to make a better product, provide a better service, but to do so at the opportunity to make a better living. God forbid they should make a profit. Well, right now, they're not drilling. They're not producing at the same levels. Number one, they've been shut down in some places, and number two, they've been overregulated in others, and number three, there's so much uncertainty. They're not sure whether they want to put their cash reserves into doing something that they believe might get shut down on them. All of that to say, Fox Business has got a story right here, also dated yesterday afternoon, saying that gas prices are reaching record new highs and GOP senators are blaming Biden for holding production back. Ted Cruz led a group of other senators, pointing out that there were a number of things that the administration could do. And as we move forward in the show today, I'm going to unpack some of that for you. I don't know if we're going to get through all my material today, y'all. It's just too much breaking news, too much stuff. All right, stay tuned. Lindy Blanchard, running for governor, is calling in momentarily right after the news break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.